Welcome back to the History Show on RTE Radio 151551 for your texts. And the story of buildings in Dublin City reveals our capital as a layered and complex place and provides an important perspective on Dublin's political, social, cultural and economic histories. More Than Concrete Blocks is a series of richly illustrated books from Poor Courts Press, and the latest edition, Volume 2, covers the period 1940 to 1972. And the series is edited by architectural historian Ellen Rowley, who joins me now. Ellen, welcome back to the History Show. Thank you very much for joining us. 1940s and 1950s. You know, I don't know much about architecture, but if you were to ask me, I would say, nothing. There's absolutely nothing of any value which materialised in Ireland during that period. I'm sure I'd be wrong, though.
Yeah, well, we would say you are wrong, and it's certainly those are the decades that we were seeking to rescue. We'd always inherited the idea, the history that these were lost decades, and then we were looking at what was happening in terms of what was being written in architectural journals, who was being invited to speak in Ireland, and eventually what was getting built. And this was a period of great expansion in terms of social infrastructure. So this was a time when there's a lot of vocational schools being built and buildings for transport. And it's the start of the Free State is coming to conclusion at the end of the 40s. That dream is still vaguely alive at the end of the emergency period and then the New Republic. So all of these political waves, if you like, are inspiring different building programmes.
And you have lots of photographs. The book, by the way, I have to say, is a fantastic production, and I was surprised when you told me that it was priced at only €20. It's a very, very heavy book, and it's incredibly well illustrated. Just a couple of the standout buildings, though, not necessarily from the 40s and 50s, but perhaps from a little bit later in the period that you're covering, 40 to 72. Front page of the book, a very obvious photograph of Liberty Hall rising up.
We have a friend of mine, her dad, Mick Foran, who's photographed. He's about 13 or 14.
Yeah, there's a young lad in the front of it.
Yeah, he's a young fella. He's a cheeky looking young fella who's been photographed by his pal as the Crystal Tower is rising, that is Liberty Hall. And it is finished in 64, so that's just before that, 1963. And it at the time was the tallest building in Ireland, and it was shortly replaced by Cork County Hall by Patrick McSweeney. But it was designed by Desiree O'Kelly, who was an architect, well, an engineer, then later an architect, who had cut his teeth designing TB sanatoria under Norman White in the Department of Health in the Custom House. And he got the gig for the trade union and went bold, inspired by Frank Lloyd Wright, as were many of the architects through the 30s, 40s and 50s in Ireland, some of whom actually went to study and work with Frank Lloyd Wright. One of the heroes of the book, jumping away from Liberty Hall, is Andy Devan. And he went and studied in the late 40s with Frank Lloyd Wright and returned in 48.
Great quote from Frank Lloyd Wright, quoted in the Irish Times yesterday, that surgeons can bury their failures, architects advise their clients to grow ivy.
Or cover them in mosaic, perhaps.
That too. Bussaras is, I suppose, on one, anybody who's been in Bussaras, certainly I would have been there quite frequently for various reasons in the 1970s, gone back to school and therefore don't have great associations with it, but that's completely irrelevant to the architecture of Bussaras. It is actually, we have to accept now, a very fine building.
Yeah, but I mean, your point there, Miles, about your associations of returning to school, like architecture is that really curious thing whereby it comes out of economics and social mores and political imperatives, if you like, but it's really deeply linked to the psychology of self. So much of what happens with Bussaras is to like or not to like is around it's the psychology. Psychology, our feeling in it and also outside of it. It's completely marooned. It's an island building. What later on Sam Stevenson builds, highway buildings, this is like an early version of that. So it's deliberately to be circled by traffic because it's considered to be brave new world. This is the era of the bus and the coach. And at the time when it was finished in 1953, it was hailed as the first completed office building in Europe. after the first, second World War, and visited by American, British, and French study tours of architects. And so it was immediately recognised as a serious piece of architecture.
But by certain people, it was a carbuncle before it was even built. The Irish Times, for example, I think got in trouble before it was built.
Yes.
They published an artist's impression. Tell me about that.
And so Michael Scott was raging. They decided to show it as outlandishly huge, oversailing the Custom House, which is, you know, very beloved. Anything by Gandon, of course, is. And so he took the Irish Times, Scott took the Irish Times to court and won. He said it belittled his reputation.
Archer's Garage on Fenian Street. Now that it actually dates back to the 1940s, and in fact, I think you've established that perhaps it's earlier. That's Hendron's Garage I'm thinking of. But Archer's Garage in Fenian Street, very interesting history, because it was illegally demolished, mm-hmm. and I think everybody was shocked mm-hmm. about the fact that the person who demolished it was forced to rebuild it.
Yeah, which is really unusual that somebody is held to account for once. And so that was demolished in a June bank holiday of 1999, which is, you know, supposedly, you know, a very quiet time. But due to public outcry and the activism of Frank MacDonald and then this incredible work by Shane O'Toole, who's part of our research team, whereby he uncovered the original drawings and mostly the engineering drawings of garlands. And as a result of that, the facsimile, a near complete copy.
Beautiful Art Deco building.
Yeah, it's an important building because, as well, again, you can move inside the idea of the single turn of a steering wheel. So this is all the age of the automobile, the ascendancy of the automobile.
The photograph in the book is interesting because it does look very, very pristine. So it's the updated version, it's, or the post 1999
and
version.
So importantly, the materials are 2000 materials rather than 1940s concrete.
One of the best examples of modernism, a place I've been many occasions, the interior I described to you has been extraordinarily brutalist, and that's the Berkeley Library in Trinity College. It's a beautiful building from the outside.
Not so beautiful from the inside. I wonder if this is your psychology again coming to play in the pressure of studying. But the Berkeley Library is considered to be Ireland's best late 20th century building and one of the finest post-war libraries in the world, actually, not just Europe. I'd argue that inside, it's completely irrational. It's really hard to work with. You cannot adapt it. You cannot add technologies to it because it's raw, exposed concrete, but it is a piece of, will you go again, well, I'll bring you, it's a piece of concrete sculpture, and it's all been poured on site, so the marks of the pour, the seams, the joinery, that's the wood, the formwork in which the concrete is poured is exposed, and so we have things on the second floor which are light wells that they then transform into desks, that transform into cubbyholes and ramps and whatnot. So it's very much a piece of irrational, brutalist architecture, and it's truly made by hand.
Talking about irrational and brutal, what about the building that we're sitting in at the moment?
Yeah, the RTE radio building, you mean. So we do look at RTE campus, and we kind of take a campus overview, so we don't poke around in the interiors in our case study. But this building is...
an iceberg. Most of it is actually under the ground.
This one is, importantly, most of its function is submerged in the basement because you don't need views, you know, you need these particular rooms that are chambers. But it's a copy of, or it's a reference to Mies van der Rohe's Crown Hall in the Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago. And it's a reinforced concrete building, but we would, the architectural community would once again hail this as a pretty great building.
Mm. Very interesting book. I mean, going through it, I'm looking at some of the buildings and thinking, oh my God, who in God, not even their own mother would think that they were beautiful, but they're in the book, and, you know, maybe 40, 50 years
but
from now.
But it isn't beauty. I think this is all about raising awareness,
right.
And it's more saying, like, beauty is such a subjective category. Who knows what the next generation will think is beautiful. But really importantly, we are recognising that a generation of buildings have been so badly maintained or demolished that they're disappearing. So it's about raising awareness, really simply, and not being too snobbish about it.
Okay, the book is More Than Concrete Blocks, Dublin's 20th Century Buildings and Their Stories. Volume 2 covers 1940 to 1972, published distributed by Four Courts Press. Ellen Rowley is the editor. Thanks very much for joining us on The History Show. That's all we've got time for this evening. Details of all items and podcasts available on our website. My thanks to Kieran Dunn on sound tonight and our researcher Liz Gillis. The History Show is a Pegasus production for RTE. For me, Miles Dungan, and producer Lorcan Clancy, goodbye and thanks for listening.
Follow us on Twitter at RTE History Show.